You need to be willing to do what other people are not willing to do right now, so you don't have to do what other people have to do in the future. It doesn't make sense to think that somebody wants to learn to make hundreds of thousands of dollars or do this thing without having the proper training. And I don't just say this because I'm a coach. I say this because I have seen it.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It is your friend, Adam, AAA Adams, and really looking forward and fired up about today's podcast interview with Krista Mayshore. What we're going to be talking about is basically her experience getting to around 700 plus episodes. And then maybe a mistake that she may have made. She was like in the top 25 in marketing. She repurposed a lot of content, and I want to find out what that did for her. But there's a lot of other really cool things. Like if you follow Russell Brunson, not Richard Branson, Russell Brunson, if you follow ClickFunnels at all, she's been like 6 or 7 times in the 2 Comma Club Award, which means that her online digital marketing is just on point. She just keeps getting those awards. She's also been featured on a few places like Forbes, Fox, NBC, and Wall Street Journal, and other notable places. She's for the last 20 years in a row. I think it's in a row. I'm saying in a row. She might correct me. There was one. And then anyway, top 1% realtor in the world. I mean, in the nation, which is like nuts. The consistency is impressive. The consistency of 700 plus episodes in her podcast is impressive. The consistency of continuing to be a 2 Comma Club Award winner, being named Yahoo's finance number one digital marketer to follow last year was also really, really cool. So we're going to get through her experience. Why did she even start a podcast? How did she make it into the top 25? Because that is just a really cool thing that I think a lot of you want to do. So Krista, welcome to the show. I'm really glad that you're here. And I think that a lot of the things that you've done are super impressive. I wish that I had accomplished half of those things. It's remarkable. And I'm hoping to extract what is like the main reason that's allowed you to have that type of success. And if you don't mind, to start, is there like a personality trait that you have or people that you know really well that are you're well connected that's kind of allowed you to be able to achieve all of this success in general?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm really excited to be here. I appreciate it. So I love that you had me. I'm just very grateful. So I haven't always been this successful. Always, we could definitely say that. I think that many times people see people and they assume things about them, and they pretty much, the assumptions make them say things like, oh, they're just successful because of this, or I can't do that because she's this way, or she achieved that because of this reason. Fill in the blank, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. But the truth of the matter is that anybody can achieve the success no matter where they're at in life, if they just have the drive and the ambition and the stick-to-itness, I guess. Stick-to-itness is one of my really finer qualities, and being someone who implements and just really, really implementing consistently, even after you fail, because when you're going on a path, right? Like you fail a lot and there's some scary times that have happened. You just have to keep on going. So it's hard for me to answer that question. I don't know, but
I love that answer. It resonates with me a lot. When I was like in junior high, Krista, I was in the band. Like I was a band geek all the way through college. My tuba paid for my college. But I remember like in junior high when I was first learning, our teacher made us read these quotes. One of them was by Calvin Coolidge. It talks about persistence and determination, literally like giving you endless potential compared to so many other things. And part of that quote, I'm not going to give it all the way, but I remember almost arguing with it because it said something like, genius isn't better than persistence. It said, education isn't better than, it says your talents are not better than consistency, determination, persistence. It says that not quitting, even when you fail, is the number one reason that people succeed. And although I argued it, I think that that's probably true. And when you brought it up, like, you don't know exactly what it is, but like stick-to-itiveness is like the thing that you probably attribute it to. I like that because I see a lot of podcasters, they come in, they start a podcast and they might do like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 episodes, and they don't really see that they're making $1 million yet, or they're not like the most famous. And so they just quit. And I think that happens with business, with podcasting. And so that's really aspirational, or it maybe inspirational is a better word for it, just to kind of hear you say that all it's really taking is like hard work and just keeping and continued. Yeah. Now to the listener, Krista's podcast, when I mentioned in the beginning, I said, I'm fired up to be talking with her. That was on purpose because her podcast is called Fired Up with Krista Mayshore, and Fired Up all in caps with those, because it's financial independence, retire early. Krista, if you don't mind, would you share with us like why 700 plus episodes ago you decided to even have a show?
Yeah. So I'm a coach and I get coached. I probably have spent more money on coaching than anybody you'll meet like this year alone. I've spent several hundred thousand dollars this year on hiring like coaches and consultants and professionals to help me like up my game. And I've always been really highly into education. So Russell Brunson, he is one of my coaches. I'm actually in his category king. It's a program where he only has 15 people. Each of us pay him $150,000 to be in this group, right? And we don't even really get that much access to him, quite frankly, but we have access to this group and we get access to him twice a year and we're all in there and we're masterminding. Well, before joining his category king, I have been in his inner circle where I've spent $25,000, you know, 3 years in a row to be a part of his inner circle. And the first year that I joined, he said, do a podcast. Everyone needs to do a podcast. You need to be producing content in every form as often as possible. Don't be a consumer, be a producer. And I waited a year, and I'm usually one to like implement everything else, but I had written a book in the meantime and then all the created a book funnel and did really well. And then I thought, now it's time for the podcast. So I made the commitment and I did it. And I'll tell you, the podcast has literally made me millions of dollars. I could say that because being on the podcast, because I have been so consistent, it's gotten me on, you know, top 25, top 75, top 50. It always fluctuates. And remind me to tell you the story about it fluctuating so I don't forget. And so what we do is we do something called a swapcast. Well, we'll call other people that are in the top 50, top 100 podcasts in real estate and entrepreneurial and mortgage and any of these different avenues that clients that we want to be in front of. And we'll say, hey, would you like to do a swapcast? So because I have a podcast that I have so many of them, and I've had Russell Brunson on there and John Lee Dumas, you know, I was just on John Lee Dumas's podcast and Podcaster's Paradise. And because I have done these things because of the podcast, then they're like, okay, you can be on our podcast. We'll do a swapcast. And then it's putting me in front of their audience. So now that I'm in front of their audience, I'm getting more exposure for free being in front of their audience. They're doing the same in front of mine. And now people are learning about me and learning about what I do. And then they're attending my trainings and my events and then eventually hiring me for coaching. So it's been a great, very affordable, organic way for me to build my list, to gain exposure, to have people learn more about me and kind of consume my content and my information. So I listen to my coach, who is a billionaire, literally, and who is the number one digital marketer in the world. He says, do a podcast. I said, okay.
I love it. So podcast interviews, hosting a podcast, including the podcast interview swaps, getting in front of other people's audiences, has been a really affordable way for you to kind of grow your brand, grow your podcast, but also like attribute millions of dollars of income through that vehicle, I guess is the best.
Yes.
That's cool.
And I can't track it, but I mean, we've done $34 million online in the past 4 years, all from being online. Podcasts I consider online, right? Creating funnels. And that was from scratch. Like no one knew me 4 years ago. And we just applied for our 2CCC award. And I was like, oh my God, we've done $30 million in coaching. And we did over $4 million in real estate in the past 4 years, just online. So, I mean, I can tell you a part of that, even if you just say 5%, right, is a large amount of income that came from the podcast. So it's definitely helped me. It's also got me in front of some great people, you know, and meeting people and learning people. And it's just awesome. It's like a way to pick people's brains. You can have like someone awesome like you on there and then pick your brain about how to do a podcast for free.
I like that. I really do. But you told me to remind you about kind of like the fluctuating numbers. What did you want to share about that?
Yeah. So when I first started, well, first of all, let's just say, I mean, it can be hard to get started, right? It's hard to talk into a microphone, especially in the beginning, and you feel weird. You're just sitting there talking. And when I first started, it was a little harder. And then I got in a groove and I had this little mic, the lav mic that I kept that was specifically for it. It's called Movito, I think, or Motive or something like that. And I would keep it with me everywhere. And I almost didn't get on a plane once because I was out there doing a podcast at the airport and they're like calling my name and closing the door. And I'm running in. My husband's like, what the heck? But then I kind of got busy and we started, you know, doing other businesses and other ventures. And I'm trying to be on too many platforms. And so I started not being as consistent with my podcast and I started repurposing. So we were at like number 24 of all podcasts. We were doing so good. We might have even done better than that in the past. And then all of a sudden we were at like 76. I'm just like, what happened? What happened was I wasn't doing the content that was specific for the podcast. It was like I was repurposing content. I do a video on for YouTube or a video, and then I take that sound and I'd use it for the podcast, and it just doesn't work as well. So, I mean, I'd highly recommend number one, just starting, even if you suck, who cares? Nobody's listening to me anyways. And then number two, as you start getting better, like what I have found is that when I'm feeling it or thinking about it is exactly when I should record it. It doesn't matter where I'm at. It doesn't even matter if it's the best sound. It's like when I'm feeling pumped up and I'm excited, I have to do it then, because even if I write it down, it's not the same level of enthusiasm or any of it. So try your best to, like, when you get the idea, when you get the thing, when you get the courage, just do it right then. And then that would be very helpful. And repurposing doesn't quite work as well as I wish it did.
I really like that. Do you know who Joe McCall is? Like, you're kind of in the real estate space.
Yeah. I just had him on my podcast yesterday and I was on his.
Oh my gosh. Before.
Yeah.
Random. Yeah. He's also the
category king with Russell Brunson and me.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know he's like, he won some awards as well, like this last one, but he's a friend. He's in a mastermind with me as well. But I will say one thing about him is his podcast. He sometimes does, I think it's called REI in the car, like real estate investing, like information from his truck. And the thought is, I think right on point of what you're saying. And I think it's interesting and needs to be brought out that you and he are saying stuff like that or doing stuff like that and getting results, because it does actually contradict something that I share on the podcast all the time. I always talk about you want to have the best quality. You want to make sure all of your episodes are really, really good. But I will say that, like with you, sometimes at the airport with Joe, sometimes in his truck, it's like you feel motivated to share the content. And I do feel like as long as the listener understands, hey, I'm in my truck today, but I still wanted to pour this out to you. Hey, I'm at the airport today. Hey, you're going to hear that I'm not using my mic that it's home, but I'm traveling in Hawaii. And I felt compelled to give you this value that just kind of happened to me, the story that just happened to me. I think you could learn a lot from it too. So I'm still going to do it. And I've seen it work, not with everybody, but definitely with you and your podcast and with him. So I thought that's something I should definitely point out. And then you mentioned that, like, you started repurposing content and it didn't work out as well. Some of the things were like YouTube videos. Do you mind giving more of like a tangible, so that I can understand, so that my listener can understand, like, what do you think it was about repurposing some of that content that didn't end up working? Like, why didn't it work? What did you do wrong? What can we learn from it?
A couple of things. I think the people know it's not meant for them directly. They know it's not intended for the podcast. So that kind of turns them off, and it's not personalized enough, right? It's kind of like any other platform. If you are on TikTok and the video is not of you doing it, it won't work well because people know it. They know it's not on TikTok. I think that has a lot to do with it. And, you know, people want to feel important, right? You're doing a podcast and they're taking the time to give you their most valued asset, which is their time, then do it for them. And so, I mean, I literally wrote out my goals and it was like what I want to have happen in the next year. And I wrote down, okay, what things are you doing? Like, what activities do you need to be doing every single day to get that result? And one of them was like a podcast, an intentional podcast 3 times a week. You know, and it's cool that I put that out there because since then, this is now my third podcast this week. So I'm like definitely on a track, right? You make a goal, you set it out there, and then all of a sudden it tends to happen. And then things will get easier. But now it's almost like, because I have been doing the repurposing, it's like I'm almost having to kind of start from scratch again. I got to get back into that groove and I have to get back into that routine and into that feeling confident again on it. And so understand, I mean, everybody, you know, we see people on video, hear people on podcasts, we see people that are successful. We just think that it's just easy for them, right? And that they don't go through the same struggles. I go through the same struggles as everyone else. Like even today when we first started, right? I was on the wrong computer and then I was like, hey, can I change my shirt? Because, you know, I was in my pajama shirt earlier and like we go through the same things and you were gracious enough to say, you know, give me a 5-minute grace period. But we have the same things. Like there's times where I'm okay, what am I going to talk about today? What am I going to say? Are they going to like me? Too short, too long? I don't know. We just go through it. And
yeah,
that quote, I would love for you to find that quote for me, because I come from such humble beginnings. When people hear my story, it like really resonates with them because I've got a great personality and I'm very outgoing. So people just assume that because of that, that I just success just comes naturally to me. And so I have not lived at home since I was 13. There was some physical abuse happening in my home from my mom. And my mom is one of my dearest friends and she's an amazing mother and she's just great. But she had some issues when I was growing up that translated onto me. And so I started running away and I found myself living in street cars and living in RVs and living in my friends' closets while their parents didn't know I was there. And finally, I ended up getting in trouble because I broke the law. I stole all of the lunch money and all the girls' clothes out of the locker room in eighth grade. So they came back from pee and they had no clothes because I needed clothes and food. So I got caught doing that and I got stuck into juvenile hall. So I was in juvenile hall for about 3 months. Thought I was going to die in there because there was all these mean bullies in there. And then I left there and I got sent to a group home called Hidden Hills Group Home for Girls. And I lived in that group home for a year and we got dropped off in this big, huge green bus labeled Hidden Hills Group Home for Girls. And there was nothing hidden about it because it basically showed the whole school that we were screw ups, right? And so people ignored us, they chastised us, they bullied us, they shamed us because we were different. We were kind of outcasts. And from there, once I left that group home, I got sent to a foster home. So I have not lived at home since I was 13. And I was diagnosed with a heavy learning disability when I was in second grade. I couldn't read. I went to bed until I was 10. And all this stuff sounds like a lot, but I mean, I did. The abuse causes those kinds of things. And so there has been a lot of like shame and just not feeling good enough and all these things that I've had to completely work through over time. And to think like when I say failure and stick to itness, like I have failed so many times. Like there's been so many businesses I've tried that didn't work. There's been so many things. When Corona hit a year and a half ago, it's been about a year and a half, my coaching business was at 6 week burn rate, which, and I had 30 employees at the time. What that means is I only had enough funds in the bank to last for 6 weeks for my company. And I found myself taking from one company to pay it. I had to sell a house to put money in there. I had to completely transform everything that we had been doing because we went from being very lucrative to like making almost nothing. It was just crazy for several months in a row. So bottom line, Adam, is like, I've just been through a lot. So, and it's been a lot of struggles and a lot of hardship. So to think when you look at someone that you see successful, I mean, it takes me a lot longer to learn something than the most people because of I still have the learning disability, right? So anyone can do anything. I always tell people, you can do anything you put your mind to. You just got to like try. And when you mess up, you got to keep going, keep going, keep going. And eventually it'll stick.
I resonate with that a ton, growing up with learning disability as well and being different and feeling like being judged. And it's always been a challenge. And my big thing, just like you, it's like, I really believe that it doesn't matter like who you are. If you stick to it, if you don't let failure daunt you or knock you down and keep you down, then like any of us can achieve anything someone else can. Like, you mentioned that you were out of your house from the year of 13, growing up, all of the challenges that you faced, but you still made it through it. And today, I mean, you're much more successful today than even 99% of the population. And I think that that is noteworthy to say it doesn't matter where we came from. You can achieve it. If anyone else can achieve it, we can copy our way to success. We can do the same things that others are doing to get to that next level. You said you wanted the link. You said you wanted that quote, right? So yeah. I'm putting it in the chat for you and me. And I'm also going to have our editor put the link to the quote in the show notes too. But yeah, it's a phenomenal quote by Calvin Coolidge. And although it is hard for us to wrap our head around immediately, I found, just like you have, that really it's the persistence and determination, not letting things keep you down, that really will allow us to achieve anything, whether it's making 30-something million in the first few years of a business where most businesses fail. I also have to say that, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, Krista, it also seems as though you're willing to take more risk or leaps of faith than maybe the average person. And the only reason I say that, and I don't know your whole history here, but my thought is when you say that you spent like invested is probably a better word than spent, but that you invested like $150,000 just to be with 15 people that you only see twice a year. It's like total sticker shock. It's scary. Some of us don't even have $150,000 that we could throw to something like that. And so I feel like it's not just like getting up when you fall down, but there must be some type of like element of you being willing to make an investment like that because you've been doing it for a few years. Like maybe not just the $150,000, but over time you've been investing 25 grand at a time. And some people don't make 25,000 in a year either. And you're like investing it in just to be part of a group. Like, is there anything that you can speak to that? Or do you think I'm totally off base?
No, I think you're right. So I used to be a teacher prior to getting into real estate. I was a teacher and I made $60,000 a year after teaching for 6 years with a master's degree. So my salary after 6 years of teaching with a master's degree was $60,000 a year. If you would have told me back then that I'd be spending this kind of money, I would have told you that you were crazy, right? Like I would have told you like, no way, I was living paycheck to paycheck. But as time went on and as I started to be successful, I knew it was super important, just like I invested in my teaching credential. I took out a loan, you know, got a student loan and worked a full-time job while I was going to school full-time and invested not only the time, the resources, but the money to get my education. I knew that that was just important, right? Because that education gave me, I just had that credential behind me. And so I just continued to do that. I would always just invest in coaching and it helped me make more money. So I would like always spend a little bit more, a little bit more. And I look at what Russell was able to help me accomplish from that $25,000 initial investment. We did like, geez, I think we had 3 point something million in the first 17 months, right? Of launching a brand new business. And it was all because of his coaching. I will give Russell Brunson and what he taught me and being a part of his inner circle, 1000% credit in conjunction with the fact that I am a master implementer. Like everybody in the inner circle always says, oh my God, you're such an implementer. I'm like, what, really? I guess I am. They all tell me I am. But so that helped me. And then, so now that I've been doing that for 3 years and I know I want to get to the next level, it's like, okay, if I want to get to the next level, I need to invest. So it's like, it just makes sense, but I didn't start there, but you've got to start somewhere. I mean, everyone has to understand that if you don't invest something, it's like people will say, well, I'll buy it when I have the time. I'll buy it when I have the money. Well, guess what? The money is never going to come. The time is never going to come. Unless you're resourceful and figure out a way to get the resources, you're never going to have the resources. You have to be resourceful. Like that foster kid, that kid from juvenile hall that found a way to go to college and get a student loan and figure it out, right? And it hurt. It wasn't fun having a student loan and doing all that. But I mean, all of that is stepping stones to where I've gotten now. And in no way am I bragging, or please, I hope by saying what I spent for these programs, I don't want to sound like, oh my God. I think it's important to know where I came from and where I'm at and how many times I failed in between. But
yeah.
There's
this guy that like got on a discovery call, like with my team, and I won't call him out completely. He'll probably hear the podcast. I know he listens. That's where he found us. But it was an interesting conversation because it was all around what you're talking about. He's in a mastermind. He paid for another mastermind. And I think it's Brand Builders or something. But he knew that he wanted to start a podcast. His mentor said, you have to start a podcast. He has some money in the bank, but he quit his job. He quit the job so that he could really grow this thing. And when we were talking, he's like, this is what I want it to be about. This is what I want to do. And he's talking about like how is, you know, how you do mentorship, like you have your own coaching program too. And I'm sure it's a high dollar amount. His was a high dollar amount. And he was having a struggle trying to think of how this process should go. Like, when should he put the money in? He quit his job so he could make a lot more money doing this thing, but he was afraid kind of like to make that investment into the podcast. He knew he wanted to do it, but he was like, maybe I need to make money first. But it was interesting. And I remember feeling kind of like how you felt. I remember feeling like, I don't want to try to sell you on my services at all. And I'm not here to like twist your arm, but it sounds to me like you're never going to achieve this thing without taking a leap of faith, without making some type of an investment into the potential of being able to grow so that you can be making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month through having.
It's so funny. So it isn't even like making the investment. So you need to be willing to do what other people are not willing to do right now, so you don't have to do what other people have to do in the future, right? It doesn't make sense to think that somebody wants to be able to learn to make hundreds of thousands of dollars or do this thing without having the proper training. And I don't just say this because I'm a coach. I say this because I have seen it, right? I say this because I've been there. I say this because I've done this. Trying to figure things out on your own. Don't ask how, ask who. Russell teaches it. Don't ask me how, ask who, because you can Google anything. But the problem is that if you don't know who can help you, that's done that thing, that can fast track your success, that can give you all the tools that you need to put it into place, that can keep you from doing all the things that don't work, that are going to fail, which are going to make you quit anyways, right? And without the coaching and the accountability and the support, I mean, I don't know the statistic, but it's like most people will never do it. Like, I can tell you a statistic. There's a study called the Change or Die study. And this is a study where people were going to die if they didn't stop doing the behavior. So in other words, if they didn't stop drinking too much, or they needed to exercise more, stop eating fats, or they had high cholesterol or diabetes and stop eating sugar, whatever it was, the doctors said, you are going to die. You need to stop doing this. Within a year, 90% of people went back to their original behavior. They couldn't change their behavior, even with death on the line. With death on the line, they couldn't make the change. Now, there was another group that had coaching, accountability, and support. Out of that group, 77% of those people were able to make the change because they had the coaching, the accountability, and the support. They were told what to do, how to do it. They had the accountability if they did, and they had the support to keep them going. So you're seven times more likely to create a change or to change a habit or to do something different with death on the line. Okay, when you have coaching, accountability, and support. So imagine how hard it's going to be for people to change their lifestyle, to change their business. If you can't even do it with death on the line, what makes you think you can do it with just your business, right? So hiring the right people. I mean, I love taking my students' money. I love it because I know that what I have absolutely 1,000% works. I know they need me more than anything. It's one of the hugest parts of why our program is so successful, is because I have a really great ability of inspiring people, encouraging people, and getting people like energized and ready to take action, right? That's one of my superpowers. And my product is phenomenal. Okay. So I know that they need me to do it. And I'm not shy about telling them, you will not be able to figure this out. Like, this is 20 years of me learning to do real estate and learning to be a digital marketer online and, you know, paying hundreds of thousands, if not millions, literally of dollars to learn this stuff. And the amount of time and energy, like, I'm going to teach this to you in a year. Like, you're going to collapse timeframes. You're going to learn what it took me, you know, millions of dollars and 20 years to do. You're going to get to learn it in 12 to 24 months. Right. Yeah. And it's a no-brainer, but people, they're just not willing to invest. Sometimes you have to be willing to make your pocketbook go down to let your pocketbook go up. And I'll tell you one quick story that's not about me, but one of my mentors. So I am in this organization called EXP. So I have three businesses. One is my real estate business. Another one is my coaching business. And another one is EXP, which is, it's a kind of, it's not multi-level marketing, but I'm building my organization of real estate agents across the country. One of the people ahead of me, he was a top producing agent, was selling 60, 70 homes a year. He quit selling homes, took a loan out, so he could stop selling, okay? He had to take a loan out so he could still support his family, support his team and do that. And after a year, he took another loan out again so that he could focus on building his organization, okay? That was 6 years ago. He now is making $1 million a month residual. Now, that's something different than, you know, doing $1 million, $2 million a month and you have the 40 people in a company and all these residually he's making. So he had to like, have a little bit of heart, take a risk, get a loan so he could laser focus. And his name is Brent Gove, by the way. So he could laser focus on building his EXP organization. And was it difficult back then? Was it hard? Was it scary? It was, but it sure isn't now. Now his life, he travels everywhere. He doesn't ever have to worry about work again. It's just being, he has an amazing life, but he had to be willing to let his bank account go down and his level of comfort go down before he could get to where he is now. And that's everybody.
Yeah. I love it. That's so powerful. Like, you're right. You have a knack for inspiring others with stories. And man, I don't know. Maybe I'll want to join EXP. But so you did mention there's a few things that I want to maybe readdress because we're about at the end of the interview time. And I know that I got a lot of takeaways through what you and I had our communication. There is a book, Who Not How. I know you were mentioning really to focus on who can help you versus like, what is the content that I need? That is super, super beneficial. And I listened to that book. Part of my learning disabilities, I don't read.
Me too. I'm the same. You know what's good?
Who, not how. We'll put that in the show notes. The Change or Die study is something that I will never forget. Mentioning that 90% of the people that stopped their original habits went back to them within a year. But if there was that second study where they had mentors, support group, coaches in their corner, 77% of them actually made it. So versus 10%, 77 were successful. And that's so powerful to illustrate the who, not how, and why it would be good for us to drop our bank account a little bit so that we can get that right person who's been there before, who can shrink time. I think
collapse
you said
time, yeah.
Collapse time and all of that money that the mentor might have spent. And just that one quote that I grabbed of yours, you said, "I love taking my clients some money." And it's funny because like I had something happen in myself when you said that. I'm like, whoa, that's taboo. You're not supposed to want the money. And it was great to hear how you stated it, because you know that what you have to offer is going to benefit them. And I want our listener who's a podcaster, might be a coach or a mentor, and wants people to hire them as an attorney, wants them to hire them as a life coach, as a business coach. I want them to be able to see it that way also, like how awesome it is to be able to take that money so that you can change lives in just a year. That was huge. And to even go back further into our conversation today, you mentioned one of the things that happened when you were repurposing the content is that it wasn't necessarily right for the platform. You mentioned that it was like, sometimes on TikTok, you don't get as many views if you're not like actually holding the phone yourself, because people just know and they get off. I think of it as play to the player. I did an episode about this like recently, where it was basically each platform kind of has their own way of thinking. And YouTube is a little bit different than like a podcast. And I'm hoping that our listener didn't let that just like go in one ear and out the other, to make sure that we are playing to the player. We are playing to the platform, might be a better way to say it.
Like that.
So I really, really appreciate it. But even going further back, I have a question that I never had a chance to ask you, because I thought it might be helpful to clarify. And I didn't know if the takeaway was that we need to focus or that some platforms are terrible. But you mentioned, quote, "You are on too many platforms." And I wanted to understand, like, what does that mean that you are on too many platforms? Does podcaster today need to make sure that they're on fewer platforms, or are there certain platforms that we need to avoid?
That's a good question. So just real quickly, I want to go back to the whole selling thing. Sales is service. When you truly can help somebody, sales is service. You're serving them, because people cannot do it on their own. The biggest mistake that people make is thinking that they can do it on their own. It's a mistake that I've made. It's a mistake that people make. And so, I mean, when you know that, I know that there's people that pay me and I still have to push them to do the thing. And they've paid me a significant amount of money, right? So you pay attention to what you pay for much more than when you don't. All right. So you're actually much more likely to be successful by making that investment. With a caveat here, is you need to make sure you're going to somebody who's done the thing you're trying to do. Make sure you verify their results. There is a lot of people online. I mean, I actually have a story of somebody that I know that completely did a false podcast, quite frankly, about all these results that he had done, and, you know, money that he had made and all these things. And it was completely 1,000%, 100%. Inaccurate. It was a complete lie. And this person is like living his life as though he's, you know, making all this billions of dollars, millions of dollars online, when quite frankly, it's not true. And he doesn't really have a pot to piss in. And it really made me think, like, oh my gosh, you've got to be very careful who you trust. Make sure the person that you are going to has done the thing, verify it, check their reviews, check them out. So let's just say that if they've done their thing, if they have been successful, and they've been successful getting other people successful, not just one or two, but many other people successful, then that's who you go to. So back to being on too many platforms. for many years, up until very recently, right? In the past 6 months, I have been a Facebook person. I specialize in teaching people how to utilize social media and video to dominate their profession, primarily through Facebook. Just in the past like 6 months, I would say we started doing more on YouTube and TikTok, but I have 40 employees. I have a full-time videographer and 5 full-time video editors, and I've got marketing people. So I can do that now. And even then with all the staff, it's a lot. I would never be able to do any of this, nor would I ever want to, had I not had the team, because I would go crazy. So I would tell you to pick the platform for you. It might be podcasting for your members, right? Pick the platform that's going to work, stick to it, monetize it, master it, and then do it again. Stick to it, monetize it, master it. I always say learn, implement, master, repeat, because by the time you've learned it, you've mastered it, you've implemented, there's much more to learn. And then once you've done that and you can continue to monetize that platform and be as consistent as possible, then move on to the next. I mean, I spent 10 years on Facebook before I ever moved to YouTube or Instagram or to TikTok. So word to the wise, because a confused mind does nothing. And when you feel overwhelmed and overloaded, you will just shut down and you'll do nothing. So stick to one.
That is so true. And I'm glad that's one of the last things we're talking about, is that it's like focus. It's like you can't chase 2 rabbits or else you probably catch no rabbits. So that what you just said, I would tell you to pick the platform first, stick to it, monetize it, master it, and repeat. Just keep doing that. Most people that I see are trying to do it all, and they do feel, like you said, you don't want them to feel overwhelmed, but these people are trying to master everything all at once, and it's becoming a challenge. And I think another reason why they kind of fade off. So really, really, really good information. The link to your podcast is already in the show notes so that the listener can just go over there and check out your 700 plus episodes of valuable content. And I know you are doing a lot more of the original content now, where you were repurposing a little bit for a minute. What would you like to leave the listener with? I'll leave this for you.
Well, first, thank you for having me on here. I enjoy what you teach. I love it. And I just appreciate you having me on. I will leave with this, is that things take time, right? With anything in life, there's something about momentum and buildup, and people will be like, oh my gosh, all of a sudden I'm just blowing up. And I'm like, no, you're not all of a sudden blowing up. You've been working on this for 6 months, 8 months, a year. I see some of my students, it will take a year sometimes, or it takes 8 months. And because they see the success of so many other students, like breaking the 4-minute mile, because they have the coaching, the accountability, and the support, they stick to it. But you need to stick to it. Whatever you're doing right now is working. It's not going to work. It's already working because you're doing it. And all of a sudden, things may seem like they're just blowing up out of the blue, but it has nothing to do with it just all of a sudden. It has to do with all the work that you did beforehand. Just like Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill tells that story about being the gold digger stopping 3 feet from gold and not changing. He literally stopped 3 feet from gold of being a multimillionaire back in the 1900s. Do not stop. Keep on going. It will happen. Keep a positive attitude. Act as if it's already happening now. And, you know, a whole nother mindset. I would love to talk like a whole other episode about mindset, because the mindset factor and your thought process and what you think about is like, honestly, I personally believe it's like 90% of anything. And that's something we didn't have a chance to talk about, but it's huge to keep a positive mindset. And there's a ton of research and science beyond the brain and what we think about in our thought process that will help you get to where you want to go. And that quietly, when you asked me the question I should have answered, when you said, why are you successful? It's because I am a master of my mind. And I had to learn that over time. And anybody can learn that.
Yeah. Awesome. Krista, it was a pleasure getting to know you, getting to pick your brain and see inside of like what's built you up to a multimillion-dollar company and the 40 employees that you have and the systems that you have in place, and how it really stems a lot from like your mindset and the determination that you have, and you're able to keep going forward. And I want to see the listener. I want to see the listener get that same success. So I hope that your success leaves clues. I hope that they follow your path, hire the right people, who, not how, do it the way that you mentioned. So we're not hiring somebody who is fake, fraudulent. And I'm inspired just from our conversation. And I hope the listener is as well. So let's get out and make this year the best year we've had, and I'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks.
By the way, one way to ensure that you don't miss out on great content that we're producing on a regular basis is to make sure you're subscribed to the show. You need to be subscribed or following the Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to it in order not to miss all of that. And before I let you go, I need to mention, because a lot of people are asking, do you help? Can you help me with this? And the answer is yes. My company actually does it. It's called Grow Your Show. And you can find that at growyourshow.com. Our clients, they call us the easy button for podcaster, because they simply have to record their episode. And they know that every single thing else is done for them. We sweat the hard stuff so you can be the star of your show. And if you would like help to make sure that we're editing and publishing and promoting and doing your social media, it's all in one place. And I think it's pretty affordable. You'll have to take a look for yourself. Just go to growyourshow.com and check us out. And by the way, I'll see you on the next episode.